From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this all Ole Miss edition of the NetPar podcast. I am Chase Parm. Today, I'm going to visit with Corey Hinkes and Drew Belt. They are the women's coaches for the Ole Miss golf team. Sorry, the Ole Miss women's golf team coaches. And Ole Miss is in the national championship in Stillwater, Oklahoma, playing at Carston Creek. The Rebels finished third in the San Francisco Regional. And it's been quite the rebuilding process quickly for Corey and Drew. They got to Oxford. This is their third season. They've set scoring records for regular season since they've been here. They've set scoring records for the postseason as well, and now advanced to the national championship. A big step for a program that had only had one All-American. That was Dory Carter prior to this tenure. Julia Johnson has a good chance of that. The freshman from Louisiana, she finished tied for third in the San Francisco Regional. They've got a big-time recruiting class for freshmen. They're doing a nice job with people coming in the future years as well. The nucleus that was left over has improved, and they have turned Ole Miss women's golf into quite the story in the SEC. Played well at the SEC championships and then in regional play. Connor Beth Ball, that other freshman that has played really well early in her career. So I talked to Corey and Drew just about the process, about rebuilding while trying to succeed during the rebuild, some renovations going on at the Ole Miss golf course, and kind of what's next for Ole Miss. If as they're seeing a lot of success last year on the men's side, Braden Thornberry won the NCAA Division I National Championship. The men made it to regionals, did not advance out, but how the two programs can kind of help each other to make Ole Miss a golf school moving forward. Corey, she was a coach at Augusta College prior to Ole Miss, turned Augusta College into a top 25 program. She played at South Carolina. Drew was a really, really accomplished instructor in Augusta. He's a PGA professional that helped Corey some in Augusta. He was also the head professional at Westlake Country Club there in Augusta. So a lot of teaching in their background, obviously a lot of coaching as well, and it's been a great fit for Ole Miss as they move forward. So that's what today's going to be on this NetPar podcast. It's going to be Corey and Drew telling you their story about coming to Ole Miss, how that happened, and then all the success and what's happened to get them to this point as they start the national championships this morning in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I apologize for my voice. Been a little sick this week, but I sound a little better on the interview. But it's all about Corey, all about Drew and Ole Miss women's golf. So let's get to that interview now, and that is what today is about on this NetPar podcast. Without further ado, here's Corey Hinkes and Drew Belt. Welcome to the show today. You guys a couple days away from leaving for the national championship. I guess, Corey, we'll start off here. What was kind of the message to the team? What were some of your expectations and thoughts kind of going into regional play last week?
You know, Drew and I talked about it. We didn't really put any pressure on them. We didn't throw any expectations at them. We just wanted to play golf like we knew we were capable of. All season long, it's been one round that's kind of hindered us from finishing where we wanted to finish in tournaments. So we just kind of, you know, worked on their swing and worked on the things we could control during the weeks leading up to it. And when we got out there, everything just kind of clicked for all the girls. And like I said, we didn't necessarily set goals or expectations. We just went and played golf. And you could really tell they seemed nice and relaxed and just, you know, calm and collected.
What are the nights like after, you know, first round, second round? You see you're right in it. Obviously, there's some anticipation and excitement and whatnot. What's kind of the goal to keep everybody calm, and, you know, during those nights?
You know, we do early dinner. So we go to dinner usually right after the tournament. Everyone's cutting up, having fun. It doesn't seem stressful or anxiety or anything. It's just their normal selves just having a lot of fun. So, and then since exams are this following week, they just were studying all night, so that kind of kept their mind off of where they were in the field.
Did you guys stay with one player most of the last day, or did you move around, or kind of how'd that work out?
We did, so I stayed actually with, so I went the first three holes every day with Kai Purdom, because she was the first off, and then I backed up to Julia for all 18 holes, and Drew went with Connor Beth.
You know, what we saw in SECs in the last, I think, round and a half, we saw it work pretty well at SEC, so we tried to do the exact same thing and just carry it over to regionals. That I stayed with Connor Beth Ball the whole time, and And Coach Corey stayed with Julie Johnson the entire time.
What is the message to the team from the standpoint of obviously going to win and compete and whatnot, but also enjoy the process? I mean, first time for this group. How do you kind of balance those things when you get over there?
Yeah, the thing is about our team is they are very competitive, so I know they want to win. We don't have to preach that to them by any means. So they're mad if they're making pars and not birdies. So you know, we're excited to be there. Once again, we're the 23 seed in the tournament, so there is no pressure on us. You know, we can just go out and play golf and have some fun and just enjoy the total experience.
You guys come in a couple years ago, a program that had a lot of success over the years. What did you kind of see, Corey? I mean, you come in for your interview, see this place for the first time. What was the thought coming in when you first take over this program of what's there and what's maybe possible short-term and long-term?
Yeah, so I came from Augusta, Georgia, where we had really nice practice facilities. And to be quite honest, we weren't in the same boat here. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, a conversation I had with Lynette and Ross and Coach Malloy. And he had the same conversation on his interview. And they promised us, hey, we'll make it happen. We'll get it done. So we're actually redoing the entire facility at the moment. But it's the SEC. So we knew there was potential for this to be, you know, a hotbed for some great golf. And we're like, why isn't it? So it was a challenge for us that we wanted to take on and see it grow to the next level. And it's been a lot of work these last few years, but it's super rewarding to see where we were and where we are now with the team.
Drew, kind of in your words, how did Corey kind of approach you, and how did you kind of get along in the boat here?
Well, I knew Corey. She was recruiting one of the players that I worked with in Augusta. So I got to know her through that process. I got to know what kind of coach she was. And I kind of knew that, you know, my weaknesses were her strengths and maybe her weaknesses were my strengths. So I thought we were a pretty good fit. And so when she talked to me about coming over here and talked to me about the whole deal and Ross, Lynette, Coach Malloy, I knew there was a huge opportunity here. So it was an easy fit for us and easy transition for us because we already had a relationship in Augusta.
And you were already, when you got into coaching in general, I mean, we were obviously still working with juniors, working with kids and different things, but was it a matter of, hey, do I want to go out recruiting? I mean, you know, is it a whole lifestyle change that was kind of the decision?
It was an absolute lifestyle change for me. I'm used to working every single weekend, every single holiday. You know, so we had some weekends off. You know, and I consider traveling, recruiting, going to tournaments, I don't consider that work most of the time. Most of the time, to me, that's fun and more rewarding than work itself. So huge lifestyle change, but it's been lots of fun so far.
Corey, I guess Andy Kennedy always talked about the pavilion. You can't recruit to a hole in the ground, but in some ways you are kind of recruiting to a hole in the ground out here. Has that made a difference, though, just for being able to show people what is coming, even though it's not 100% done?
Absolutely, and I think when we finally started tearing some trees down and the bulldozers were out there, we could actually post pictures and say, this is happening. So construction's a good thing. People like to see where you're going, you know, the direction of the program. So I think it's been a huge help, and obviously success breeds success. Our men's team's been playing really well, mm-hmm. and so I think that's helped us a lot too.
What does it do for you just continuing to play, getting into nationals? I mean, is there a certain kind of name recognition that is needed to recruit at the level that is necessary?
Absolutely. I mean, I think with anything, Ole Miss women's golf has not been on the map. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And so that was our goal coming in, is to put it on the map. And luckily we have some, you know, with Julia Johnson and Connor Beth Ball, you know, in our lineup, super competitive, great girls. Diane Lim and Katie Harris transferred into this program. They have a lot of grit and a lot of competitive nature to them. So just changing the whole culture of things has been the biggest thing for us in moving our program in the right direction.
Drew, in the first year or so, what did you kind of recruit to? What was the message to recruits to get them interested, and what did you kind of sell here?
It was actually an easy message, opportunity. You know, you have an opportunity. If you want to come here, you have an opportunity to play right away. So we talked to, Connor Beth was the first person that I recruited. The first day I signed the papers here, I went down to Jackson and recruited her. And the message to Connor Beth and, you know, Julia Johnson, when we were fortunate enough to get her, was, you know, you can come in here and play day one. That was good. And the next message was, Ole Miss is a really, really cool place to be. We can make you a better golfer if you come here.
I hate to say the word surprise because it's almost kind of derogatory, but did you have this type of expectations for your freshmen to be able to acclimate as quickly as they have?
I would say we knew they were gritty. We knew like their competitiveness was there. I think they've done an outstanding job. And They really want to learn. They want to get better. Every single day they're asking questions on how they can get better and things like that. So I think that's the key element to getting better, is having kids that want to be here.
Absolutely. I think we've put them, you know, both of them in a situation that they succeed at. And both of them are really gritty, really competitive girls. I mean, really competitive girls. And we put them out there in drills that we do, and it pushes them and pushes them and pushes them. And because of that, you know, it's a situation that they succeeded, and they've gotten a lot better since they've gotten here.
Yeah, they said this has been the hardest year in the terms of practice-wise, because they haven't pushed themselves to work on their weaknesses, and now their weaknesses are their strengths. So it's neat to see them admit that and see that in their daily practice.
Obviously, last year was better. You had some fall success and whatnot. When did you guys kind of see from your team, hey, they believe that they could close things out and put, you know, put rounds and events together to have a high level of success?
I think week one of this really? Year, wouldn't you
week
say?
Kiowa. Yeah.
I mean, we finished tied for fifth with some top-notch teams there. And having our freshman, Connor Beth Ball, play outstanding that week, we're like, this is going to be a different year for us.
I just don't think the girls are as afraid to play with certain players. You know, they're not afraid to look somebody in the eye and say, hey, I can play with you. And so we got some players on the team that have the ability to do that. So, you know, going out to regionals in San Francisco, they weren't afraid to say, hey, we're just as good as anybody else here.
Yeah, we had Julia Johnson last week beat the number one player in the country, and she beat 16 top 50 players. So she doesn't care who she plays. She just wants to tee it up.
Is that recognizable in recruiting? I mean, can you pick out that kind of intangible with kids? Or sometimes do you not know that they get somewhere?
That's the most important thing in recruiting. That's the most important thing that, you know, Corey and I, when we go recruiting, we go over to Europe or go anywhere in the United States, we look for the word grit. Because when you come to college from junior golf, it's a bigger change than people think it is. Junior golfers don't really understand that change. And to be more competitive, to have more grit, is probably the most important aspect when we recruit players.
Is it, I guess along those lines, some of the older girls obviously have improved and gotten better, that haven't necessarily had this amount of success that some of the freshmen are too. Do they feed off each other kind of and be able to help each other through these processes as they go?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at all of the scoring averages, and correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, you're more of our stat guru here, but every player that's been here has improved. Like, their scoring average from year to year to year has improved. And that's important to us. That means a lot to us. It means that, you know, we're really trying to develop these players, but absolutely. I mean, player 1 through 8, they're all trying to get better each and every week. And if player 7's pushing player 8 and player 8's pushing, you know, so it makes a huge difference. You know, Kai Purdom's one that we've seen a huge amount of change in her, and it's just awesome to see. You know, she came in here her first year, I think played one tournament as an individual, and now she's in our lineup week in and week out. So it's just a lot of fun to see all the improvement that they're making.
You mentioned in passing, but how can the men's and women's programs feed off each other as just, you know, a golf school where you kind of are both relevant and kind of in the consciousness of most golf people, I guess?
Well, I think our relationship with Coach Ellis and Coach Malloy is unlike any other that you're going to find in this country. I mean, they're the first to call us. You know them. You know, yeah. They're a lot of fun. So they're the first to call us and vice versa when we're at tournaments and to congratulate us or to wish us luck and just different tweets, and, you know, we're working on this project together out here, so it takes a big effort to raise the money to make this project happen, and it couldn't happen without both programs. So it's not a men's team and a women's team, it's a golf program here.
And, you know, also after practice, you know, the guys hang out after practice with the girls, and so, they're telling us, the boys in the golf team are telling us that, hey, this team sits around and practices with us, we like this. And, you know, Braden's really really open to a lot of players and helping them get better too.
What, I guess, kind of detail that for me. I've got a little cursory knowledge, but what's going on from a facility standpoint, kind of what's the timeline and then all the improvements that are being made?
Yeah, so the driving range, we are totally leveling it out. As you know, before you couldn't see past the hill or see where your ball landed. So it's going to be great for the public side and for our side. You can completely level it out. We're going to do some different fairways, different target greens out on the course. We're going to have a scoring V back on our side of the range where you can hit wedges too. So it's amazing. If you walk out there right now, you can see all the way to the back of the range. As far as our short game area, we did have 2 greens. Now we're going to have 8 greens, and we're going to have different kinds of grass out there, Bermuda, some Zoysia. It's going to be like a par 3 type of course. So you can hit, you know, 180-yard shots, and we're going to have the creek bed running through the facility there. So it's just going to have pot bunkers, you know, so you can hit the downhill shots, uphill shots, pretty much anything you want to do is going to be available to our players out there.
Yeah, you're going to be able to replicate everything we have in the tournament, so it's going to give us a leg up on some other people, so it'll be cool.
Was that designed after other areas around the country? How did you kind of come to the concept exactly what you wanted there?
You know, I think it, I guess it is a little bit of trial and error and going to different courses and saying, I like this, I don't like this, just seeing what we do like. We'll probably design a couple greens after, you know, where the boys right now, Sea Islands, where they play their championship, grab a few greens to replicate some of those so that you, when you hit on those greens, you're like, oh, this is, you know, number whatever it might be at Sea Island. So, you know, and Coach Malloy's been spearheading a lot of this project and he's done an amazing job with it as well.
Was it something in the past to where you go, hey, we've got regionals, but this course, they've got this kind of grass, to make sure you play on different elements throughout the year when you even make the scheduling up? Is that a thing?
I don't know about that as far as, like, different grasses and where we want to play. Honestly, we set the schedule to basically play in the best competition we can play in.
Okay.
Coach Inkes has been really trying to put together a really good schedule, and every year we just kind of change it up a little bit. If we don't play here, somewhere well, we might go somewhere else, and I think, you know, coming in next year we have a really, really tough schedule, so it's not much of the grass or where we're playing, it's more of who we're playing against.
Yeah, and so. Our schedule's gotten better each year because we've gotten better as a team, so you get invited to more stuff, so that helps. You know, in our men's program, or the men's side of golf has a 500 rule, women's does not have the 500 rule, so you just want to play the hardest and best competition
you can week in and week out.
We try to do a good mixture, though, because you don't want to get hammered every week either. You know, you want to keep the confidence level up for everybody. And so you try to do some middle range, some, you know, harder. But I think next year is going to be the best field across the board that we've had.
How does that work? Do you contact tournaments, hosts? Like, how do you put a golf schedule together?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. They'll send out invites, coaches will, and you reach out to them and try to get invited, and sometimes they'll tell you no, then you play well in a tournament, you get an invite the next week. So it's a little bit of a...
Honestly, getting a national championship is probably going to open up a lot of doors for us.
Really?
Yeah.
For sure.
Will there be a home event next year?
Well, we're co-hosting again with Mississippi State
at
Old Waverly. So that'll be in October 12th to 14th.
What does that do for you just to have something fairly local to be able to have a tournament, but then also, I guess, you know, display golf at a little more local level?
I mean, it's nice just not having to travel so far. Yeah. Golf misses more days than any other sport. You know, these kids are on the road all the time. So it's nice to have some fans come out and watch and just play a course they're familiar with. And the 2019 Women's AM is going to be at Old Waverly next year.
Okay.
So it's nice for all these teams to get to play there before the US AM as well.
Do you feel like fans are surprised by the level of play when they see it at times?
I think at Old Waverly they were. I mean, at one point, I think we were like 12 or 13 under par. And there were some people that came out that don't normally see us play. And literally they looked at me and said, I never thought I would see double digits under par from women's golf here at Ole Miss. I never thought I would see that. And it, you know, and to hear that, they're like, these girls are really good. And I was like, yeah, they are really good.
it was really neat too, just see them after the regionals. Kai's mom, you know, Keely Purdom was the coach here before, and she said she was getting text messages from players on her team that were sitting around the pool with their kids crying because they were shocked at
they never thought they'd see
the day Ole Miss women's golf got to this point. So it's really been cool to have all the fans rally around us.
Yeah, I've had a couple individual things with that is when they've played through in our groups out here at the country club or somewhere, and somebody hadn't seen them before go, hey, we'll let them play through. And I'm like, yeah, just watch or whatever. You know, they're hitting the shots. We're going, yeah, I can't do that. I'm like, no, you can't. Like, they will beat you with a wedge every time. So just stop. So it's kind of fun to watch the faces the first time they see it. And I go, that makes some sense. So
yeah, that's great.
What do you kind of know about the course for next week? How does that set up?
I talked to my friend. He coached the Augusta team when they won nationals back in 2011. So he said, get ready. This will be the hardest course you've ever seen in your life, is what he told me. He said, driving the ball is not extremely difficult. It's around the greens. They all have a lot of runoffs on the sides. So, you know, good ball striking, good wedge play, good short game is crucial to having good rounds and just, you know, keeping those big numbers to a minimum. So he said that's what got them through when they made it through to match play, is they just didn't have any of those really big numbers. So,
traveled back across the country? Did you give them a little more time off? Kind of what's been the practice schedule through when you leave?
Yeah, we got back on the red-eye Thursday, and several of them had three exams the day we got back. Gosh. And then two the next day. So we gave them Thursday, Friday just to take exams. We practiced Saturday. Gave them Sunday off because several girls had exams today as well.
They had to move dorms.
So it's been crazy. Graduation. Yeah. So then we're practicing today and tomorrow. Then we'll leave Wednesday and practice out in Oklahoma when we get there Wednesday. We're going to go to a local course because we can't practice at Karsten Creek. Mm-hmm. We can only do a walkthrough on the course. So we'll go practice at another course for a few hours and then do a walkthrough.
Good luck. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks so much.